We thank the Lord we can come together. We thank the Lord for each one here this morning. And we hope you're very, very important to the Lord. And we want you to be in a place where you feel that you're important to us as well, as his family. One thing I wanted to mention, one announcement, so I don't forget this. Next Sunday, being Easter Sunday, and because we have the Easter conference on Friday, we're not going to have a Sunday evening service next Sunday. So just so you, obviously we'll have our Sunday morning, but we'll not have a Sunday evening service. So anyway, just so you're aware of that. Okay, let me get just my throat's just a little bit. It's a little tricky, but not bad, but a little. Okay. Whenever we open God's Word and we talk about it, we want to make sure that He's the one that's ultimately taking His truth and putting it in our heart by His Spirit. And only He can do that, right? No human being can do that. So we just want to ask Him to work. Let's just do that. Father, we're here, and I thank You for each one here. We thank You that You love each one here, and You want the best for each one here. And our desire is that as well. And we know that only You can take Your Word by Your Spirit and plug it into our lives. And that's what we want. We don't want to waste these moments. We don't want to just go to church. We want to be impacted by Your Spirit through Your Word. So do Your work right now. I just want to humbly depend upon You that You can work at this moment, in this time, in each of our hearts, in Christ's name. Amen. Now, I want you to imagine with me, and of course, it would be hard, and some of you probably would have a hard time, but let's just say you could see the ground over here, and I remember well, and as some of you know, many of you know, my wife and I were raised in Kansas in the States. Everybody holds that against me, but anyway, forgive me. And anyway, and as you know, one thing you know about Kansas is tornadoes, right? And of course, you know about Dorothy. I understand that. But anyway, one of the first persons I came to Canada, how's Dorothy? I thought, Dorothy, who, right? Anyway, Dorothy. But you know, with the red slippers and all that. Okay, now let's imagine you can see over here, and there is a terrible dark thunderstorm, and it's building, and you can begin to see a funnel cloud that's dropping down out of the clouds. That's not an uncommon experience that you have in the Midwest, in Kansas. And I remember this one particular time. Marty was in another, she was working in another city, and she was driving, actually. And I looked out, and our neighbors, and we were there. Actually, I was staying with some neighbors. We had moved, but I was staying with some neighbors, and they had allowed me to stay in their trailer for a short time because I was working close by. And so, anyway, we look out, and this is in Larned, Kansas, if that makes any difference, which it doesn't. But anyway, look out, and up on the hill, you can see a farm, but up on the hill, above that hill, you can see this huge, a monstrous cloud, dark, and dropping down this huge funnel cloud. I mean, it was so wide. It was huge. And it was, you could just see it. It was coming toward the community that we lived in. And we're staying in a mobile home? You got to be kidding. This is suicide, right? And the thing's coming, you think, what are we going to do? And I thought, if that thing hits, if it comes down that hill and it comes to this community, it's going to take the whole thing out. It was just that huge. And I remember years later going through another community where that did happen, and it just wiped it out. So I'm looking at this thing, whoa, it's coming, that tornado is coming. Now, you know what? You probably figured out I didn't die in the tornado, right? a few clues. But anyway, the thing did lift. Just thank the Lord it lifted before, you know, it just took out that whole community. But there is something coming that's far worse than a tornado. And that is the wrath of God. It's far more frightening if you really are honest. What are we going to do? Where are you going to run? Where are you going to hide? Now let's just reflect. In Romans, we've been kind of begun into Romans, and we read this passage, and I'm going to read just a few, just pick up a few things before we get to our verses this morning. Romans 1:18. Verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed. 1:18. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. I'll just stop there. Okay. The wrath of God revealed against those who are not righteous. Now, dropping down, okay, let's just ask the question. How many here are righteous? How many are here who are righteous on our own? Well, let's read what Romans 3, verse 10 says. Romans 3, verse 10. There is none righteous, not even, how many? Not even one single dude. Not even one. Now, let's just think. Wrath of God is coming, and not one of us, when we begin into this life, are ready. It's like we're in a mobile home, just waiting for the tornado to strike. Not one. Now, you may not agree with that, but listen down if you drop your eyes to verse 12. I mean, is trying to warn us. Now, if you live in a community, if you live in a community in Midwest Kansas, you have sirens going off when that tornado is coming. You have sirens because they are trying to warn you, find shelter. And that is what God is doing. He is warning us, find shelter from the wrath of God. And we all need shelter because, notice what it says in verse 12, there is none who does good, and again, only two of us. No, there is not even one of us that does good. Now, of course, we, in our evaluation of things, we're pretty okay. But from God's evaluation of things, we're not. So what are we going to do? Well, some people say, well, no problem. I don't believe that. But what if it's true? And the Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. His word is truth. This is true stuff. The world can reject it. The world can mock it. Usually what I find about the world, you know what the world does? When they don't like something, they laugh at it. But they can't really deny it or change it. Now, but now, verse 21, go to chapter 3. We need a little help here. We need a little encouragement. We need help, but now. And this is an awesome statement. And it's going to lead us into very encouraging truth. In and of ourselves, we're in big, big trouble. But now the righteousness of God is revealed. It's a real contrast, and he's been building this contrast, and now he brings some relief. God is not just trying to just sound the siren. He's trying to show us where to go for safety. The wrath of God's revealed. Man is under condemnation, but now, and notice what it says, in our verse 21, but now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested. the righteousness of God, apart from the law. This is a strong word. Apart from the law. And the way, one of the ways that in the original text they highlight something is where they place it. And so it's not exactly the way we do English, but the way the Greek text does. Sometimes if they want to really highlight something, they'll put the word at the beginning of the sentence. And so that's what they do here. Apart, and it's a strong word in itself, absolutely apart from is the idea. Without, apart from the law. Remember, we've been talking about the law. And the law, and the law, obviously we think of the Old Testament, the Mosaic law. In this particular passage, and obviously a lot, it includes that, but it doesn't have an article or a the in the Greek text, the law. So it probably what it's saying, apart from any principle, any religious principle, apart from the law, apart from any religious principle that people might depend on for shelter, no law. This righteousness, this shelter that God wants to provide is not taking us to just self-improvement. Getting our act, you know, somebody said, get your act together, right? Well, maybe we need to get our act together, but God says you cannot get your act together on yourself, on your own. No man achieves a right standing with God by keeping any standard through self-effort. Now, I'll just say it. No man, woman, boy, girl, achieve a right standing with God by keeping any standard of self-effort. Just, you know, pull up your socks. You can't pull them up far enough. We can't get our act together on our own. Apart from the law, and that's an encouraging. God is trying to encourage us. He's helping us here. He's showing us where shelter can be found. Apart from the law, apart from, let's say you were raised in a religious home, okay? You're raised in a religious home. Now, it might have been a good home, you know? Dad loved your mom. I mean, it was a good thing. And every Sunday, your dad drug you off to church. Remember those good old days, right? Oh, gotta go to church, right? We even had to go to church on Sunday night. You can't believe it, how painful it was not to watch Wonderful World of Disney, right? That was painful. Sacrifice. Okay, so let's put this. I sacrificed. I didn't get to watch Wonderful World of Disney, and I went off to church every Sunday night, and believe me, it was almost every Sunday night, unless I was playing sick. But anyway, because I went to church, this is the way the world thinks, because little Don went to church when he was growing up, all the way through high school, all the way, all those Sunday nights, sacrifice, he gets to go to heaven. Because he missed Wonderful World of Disney. He gets to go to heaven! Zippo. That's the way man thinks. That's not the way God deals. You know, just by being religious, that's not going to help. We need a real way, not a pretend way. Now, let's read our passage again. Now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested. Apart from the law, we can receive God's righteousness. Not by self-effort, not by self-improvement, not by reading a book on how to do it better. There's a lot of people that are leaning on something that's not going to work. Now, let's think of this. Righteousness, and I know we don't use the word righteousness in our culture. I understand that. But the thing is, God uses the word righteousness because he is righteous. He's right. And we're wrong, okay? We don't use the word because it kind of shows us up looking bad. But the righteousness of God is what we need. The righteousness that God gives is what we absolutely are desperate for. And he is preparing us. He started this. If you go back, again, just a little context. Go back to Romans chapter 1:17. This is where we started this journey, really. verse 17 of Romans 1. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed. How do we get this righteousness? It's revealed from faith to faith. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. It has been. Now, back in our passage, talking about this is a context. He's been preparing us for this, preparing us why we need this righteousness is what we've dealt with so much and all of sin, and we just keep messing up. We need this righteousness. Has been manifested back in our passage. It has been manifested in chapter 3. Now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. This righteousness is made visible through the work of Christ, and we'll talk about that. Being witnessed, notice this was talked about long before even Jesus came. Long before the New Testament. We talk about in the old guys in the Old Testament, right? Now it says, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Remember, this is one passage that talks about that. Way, way, way back in Isaiah, way back, Isaiah 53, it says this. Isaiah 53, 5, but he, Christ, that was referring to, was pierced through for our transgressions. He was pierced. When he put on the cross, they drove nails through his body, pierced through for our transgressions, our sins, our shortcomings, our mess ups. Verse 6 of Isaiah 53, 6, and this one you know. All of us, like little sheep critters, have gone astray. And believe me, that's exactly what they do. Each of us has turned to his own way. I'm doing it my way. I love our granddaughters. And when they come over, it's so much fun. But this week, our two-year-old, I won't give the name because she's guilty. Okay, so anyway, I say to her, it's time to take your nap. Time to take your nap. I didn't point my finger. I said, time to take your nap, honey. Right? She comes. This is where the crib is. This is where she's at. And she's standing. It is the Custer standoff. Right? I was wondering how many years it was going to take, you know, to get her to budge. And believe me, I would still be there if her sister hadn't come. Right? I would still be there. We had missed service and everything. She was not moving. She was not planning. She's only two. She's so cute. And she's so stubborn. All have sinned. And that includes Cutie. Right? All of us. And you know what? We start really, really early. I want it my way. I want it my way. And I'm planning on having it my way. She's planning on having it her way. Where you pray for me, you know, right? Love her to death. But this passage applies to her as well as to me. All of us like sheep gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But God, the Lord, has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. This predicted that all this happened when Christ died on the cross. Now, notice verse 11. The righteous one, the Lord Jesus, the righteous one, remember we're talking about righteous, the righteous one, my servant, will justify, we'll talk about that, will justify the many as he will bear their iniquities. As he dies on the cross, as he died in our place on the cross. There's no way out from under condemnation apart from the righteousness that is displayed in the work of Christ on the cross. But it was predicted long, long ago. Help is on the way. Help is on the way. The righteousness of God is available. We desperately need that righteousness. Now, we're not going to be able to save ourselves. I go from the picture of a tornado to a fire. And I know I've told some of you about the event. When my mother was just a little girl, she was just a baby. Their old farmhouse caught on fire. Everything just... There's an old wood, you know, you can imagine out in the middle of a the prairies, and just an old, old farmhouse, just flames went up. And there's many facets to the story. But one of the facets, and we were talking about my uncle just the other day to my son, and he had never met him, but my uncle was just a little boy. He's older than my mother, just a little old boy. I don't know, maybe 3, 4 at the time this fire broke out. And so he was totally scared to death. And so what did he do? What would you do if a little boy and you're scared to death and the house is burning down and the smoke and you can't see anything? What he did, he hid in the closet. Well, you can imagine what that was like for my grandfather, trying to think, do I got all the kids out? Where are all the kids? Where are all the kids? And he had to keep going back in, going back in, going back in. And he got burnt very, very badly trying to. And he did. He finally, in the midst of the smoke, in the midst of not being able to see where he was at, he finally felt his way through into this one bedroom, and he put his hand into the closet, and he finally touched the top of the head of my uncle, who was just a little boy at that time. And then he grabbed him, and he took him, and he ran out of the house, badly, badly burned. But he saved my uncle. And you know what? My uncle did not do one thing to be saved. He froze in the closet. And you know what? We can't save ourselves. We're like frozen in the closet. But God has a plan. But it was a great sacrifice because Christ had to die on the cross. Just as my grandfather had to be badly, badly burned to get all the kids out of that house. But he sacrificed to save his kids. Christ sacrificed to save his kids because he loves us. Now this righteousness from God, how do we get it? Now let's just read down. We're back in chapter 3, verse 22. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. The righteousness of God. Again, this is talked about, and it's talked about that it's through faith. And again, I'll just read this. I read this before, but I'll reread it because we had this signal that this was coming all the way back in chapter 1, verse 17. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed. The righteousness of God is revealed through, it is from faith to faith. From faith to faith is revealed by faith. And then it goes on, but the righteous man shall live by faith. It is by faith. Righteousness is received through faith. Faith in, notice as our passage, again our passage in chapter 3, through faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in Christ. Faith is only as good as its object. What are you trusting in? What's the object? Where's your confidence at? Where's your dependence? It's only as good as your object. One writes, all men trust something, if only themselves. But the Christian trusts Christ. Notice, for all who believe. Salvation is for all who will believe in Christ. This is a big, big, big deal. Where's your trust? Where's your trust? I didn't bring an illustration, so we'll have to make one. Okay. Now, I had an eye appointment this week, and getting some stuff done on my glasses. And so, anyway, there was an elderly gentleman. And Dylan, could you just help me just a second? Thank you. I had two purposes. I love this shirt. Isn't that the coolest shirt? Yeah. Okay. Now, Dylan, you're like this gentleman that was in the eye thing, okay? So come over here. Now, there was another man who was helping him. And this gentleman had a cane, so you can kind of pretend you got a cane. Right. That's good. That's good. Okay, except I think he had this in this arm. But anyway, so he, yeah, there you go. Okay, now, and this other man who was there to help him, right? He was, you obviously could tell, he was escorting him. And so the man, they had to stay at the desk a little bit longer. The second man had to stay a little longer. So the first man, he was, you know, don't stand up straight. Okay, So he was saying, well, you need a chair to sit on. Somebody, this person said, you need a chair to sit on. So anyway, he started to move over to this chair, okay? Now, the thing is, this chair, you got to help work with me, it was a swivel thing. It was a swivel kind of chair. And so the elderly man was going to sit down. You know, he wasn't really watching too much where he was going. But anyway, he was going to sit down. So he sat down, and then we said, whoa. The man who brought him said, you know what? If he sits in that thing, it's going to be like sitting on a Bronco. He's going to take a ride all the way down. And so, don't sit in the swivel chair. And so, we guided him over. Just keep going. We guided him over. And there was another chair, and this one had handlebars on it. Okay? And so, we guided, he got to go, whoa! You can't sit down yet. My illustration won't work. Okay. Now, we finally got the man. You can go down. You go down. Oh, man. Dylan, thank you. You're so good. You're so good. It takes a lot of forgiveness being one of my illustrations, right? Okay. Now, here's what I want you to think about. Yeah, I know, Dylan. This is painful. I'll have to take you out to eat sometime or something. You got to work on forgiveness. Okay. Now, let me ask you this question. Faith is like, it's trust, right? And trust. No, so, some people are trusting, isn't that great? Okay, you can sit down. Okay, some people are trusting the wrong stuff. It's like sitting on a Bronco. You're going to go down. Now, just think, what some people are trusting, they're trusting, like I said, I went to church every Sunday night for my whole life. Painful. I sacrificed. I'm still working on forgiveness for my dad. But anyway, you think, some people are sitting in that chair. They're trusting in that. Their confidence is the wrong thing. You can be a member of a church. You can teach Sunday school, which I'm very thankful for our Sunday school teachers. But you know what? Teaching Sunday school will not get you to heaven. That's trusting the wrong thing. Now, but what God says, I'm sorry, Dylan, you got to work with me real fast. Okay, is to trust in Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ. Because he's the only one that died for us. He's the one that paid our price. And so when Dylan sits down here, he illustrates for us trust in the right chair, in the right object, And in our illustration, trusting in Christ. Now, let me ask this question. What are you trusting in? Now just think. You got to think. Because some people have gone to church all their life. And they're trusting something about that religious experience that will not save them. But they are religious. And they're probably nice neighbors. We're not saying they're not nice people. But we're saying your object of trust makes the whole difference for your eternal future. This is huge. This is forever. Make sure your trust is in Christ. Dylan, thank you so much. Such a great guy. Love the shirt. Okay. Now notice, let's go back here. These long-winded preachers. Oh, man. How do we do with them? Okay. There is no distinction. Did you see our passage? Look at our passage. There is no distinction. If you're going to be saved, you have to be saved this way. Through Christ. People can find all kinds of other stuff to trust in, but there's no distinction. And the other thing wonderful about this, you can be in the case where we're talking here, there were Jewish people and there were Gentile people. Most of us would be in the Gentile category. But you know what? If you're going to get saved, whether you're Jew, Gentile, whatever, there's only one way. No distinction. It's in faith in Christ. There's no other options. Now, I know the world says, choose, just pick and choose. Anything you pick and choose is all right as long as you're sincere. That's the world, right? That's not God. God loves us enough to tell us the truth. He loves us so much that he has to tell us the truth. There is no distinction. But man has said, well, there's all kinds of ways. But isn't it wonderful? God will save you no matter who you are, where you come from, what country you originate in. When we lived in the States, one family lived right now, were Vietnamese. We had a great relationship with these people, but you know what? If you are American, Canadian, or Vietnamese, there's only one way of salvation. But in our world, it's like options. A, B, C, or all. No, it doesn't work. You know, a lot of people are saying, well, I quote a little bit out of a book I just started reading, but this man, I don't need to share his name, but he was in our kind of group. Whatever kind of group that is, right? But he kind of came out of our kind of church. Today he holds this. You're automatically saved. That's just the way it is. You're automatically saved, regardless of whether you're a Christian, a Hindu, a Muslim, a Buddhist, or whatever. Or a member of any religion or cult. Is that true? Well, the object of your faith, if you're not trusting Christ, no go. God's just telling us the truth. He's not trying to say, well, you're inferior. He's telling us the truth. He loves us. You know, if you love your kids, you tell them the truth, right? God loves us. He tells us the truth. Now, notice, for all have sinned. That's our problem. All of us have messed up, and we continue to mess up. For all have sinned, 23, and fall short of the glory of God. Now, there's an interesting little note on this, is that the all have sinned is in the past tense. Just like I said about my little granddaughter. Well, I don't know when her first sin was, but I know we're at 2, and it's already started, right? All have sinned, so we all have done it. And the falling short is an ongoing, it's a present tense. So we have all of us have fallen short, and we're continuing to fall short of God's perfection, his character, his standard, his glory. We continue. That's just the way we are. We're messed up in our rebellion, in our spirit. We fall short, we continue to fall short of God's perfection. You know, people just think, well, they're just going to bust into heaven. They're just going to bust in. You know, I'm all of us are going. You know what? If we went in our sin state, we wouldn't even want to be in heaven. Because God's glory, we would be so out of place. But you know, a lot of people are trying to get there through inadequate ways. There's a story told, and I assume it's a true story. There was two men, and they had gone up to see a volcanic crater. And so one was an elderly man with some arthritis, like an iterant, and the other guy was a young strapping track star. And so probably grandpa, grandson kind of deal. And they went up. What they didn't expect, the volcanic action and motion within the volcano started. And they heard this rumbling. And then they hear, and the lava starts coming up, and it starts pouring over the crater. And they think, we got to get out of here. And they start going, you know, grandpa going and the grandson going, and they're trying to get out, and they're trying to go. And then they realize they go down the only option they have, because lava's going on both sides. And so they're going down, and then they get to this point, and the narrowest point is about where the lava is flowing is about 30 feet. It's about 30 feet wide. That's our only option. And they, you know, obviously they just in a matter of seconds, they think, what do we got to do? Well, we got to try. And so, you know, the elderly gentleman with, you know, He runs, and everything in him, he jumps. And you know the outcome. He didn't make it. I mean, heartbreak. But then the young track star, you know, he thought, well, he heart's broken over his grandpa. But he's got, I got to try to save myself. And so he runs, and here he was a track star. He runs with, and you can imagine, there's never been a time in his life where he's run so hard and run so fast and jumped so high. But even he could not jump over the lava. And he lost his life too. You see, there are some people, their life, it's obvious they have not lived it to any kind of standard that would please God. But there's other people that have, you know, they've done pretty well. You, like I say, you'd like to have them as your neighbor. But they cannot jump high enough, far enough, long enough to receive God's salvation. Because all of us have sinned. All of us. And fall short. And continue to fall short of God's glory. That's why we need a Savior. The wrath of God is coming. We need shelter. And it's found in Christ. And Christ alone. And it's received through faith. All those who believe are justified. Now let's look at our passage just a little bit more. Notice as it says, all of sin falls short, being justified. This is where we find our shelter. Being justified as a gift by His grace through redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Justified. The idea of justified is declared righteous. It is not made righteous. In other words, God doesn't say, well, I'm going to perfect you. I'm going to improve you gradually. No, no, no. We can't get improved gradually enough because we continue to fall short. It is the idea of God in His grace, because what Christ did on the cross will declare us righteous. He will pronounce us righteous because, not because of who we are, but because of what Christ did for us. And we can stand in the righteousness of God as found in Christ because of what Christ did on the cross. We can be declared right with God. But we have, notice what our passage says, as a gift by His grace through redemption which is in Christ Jesus. And again, it's through only those who believe, who have faith. One has said, faith means not doing something, not improving, but receiving something. It means not earning of a reward, but the acceptance of a gift. It means to trust Christ, to put the weight of our life on Christ, the weight of our eternity on Christ. We rest in Him and Him alone. Have you done that? What are you counting on? You know what? If life is normal, we're all going to kick off, right? Now, excuse me if that upsets you, but we're all going to die. We're all going out of here. Are we ready? You know what amazes me in our culture? We're so in tune with trying to figure out how to make a buck in the moment, which I understand. You got to make a buck. I understand that. I'm not against that at all. But people are so fixated on the moment, they have forgot about the eternal. And God says, I love you so much, wake up. The wrath is coming. You need to be in the righteousness of Christ through faith in Christ. Where's your faith? Where's your dependence? Where's your confidence? One of the wonderful things that my dad did, because obviously we had tornadoes, it was a regular occurrence, pretty much. And he built a new home, and he especially built a tornado shelter. And I think I've shared that before, but he built this tornado shelter, and it was a shelter. It was not in the basement. It was out from under the basement. It was cement walls all around. It was a cube of cement. and there was this lid on the on it that was really almost impossible to get up. And so you could run into that thing. You could run, if you saw a tornado through the picture window, and you could run downstairs and then run through downstairs and run into that shelter. You could go into that shelter and shut the door, and you were secure if a tornado hit. My dad loved us, and he made all the provision for our safety. But let's say the tornado comes. Let's say I see it out the picture window, and I'm a cool high school dude, right? I'm too cool to run to a shelter. Or I'm silly enough to say I'm a little dude, I'm silly enough to say, well, I'm going to go crawl in my bed and put my covers over my head. That's going to work. You see, a lot of people are putting the covers over their head and they're not running to the shelter. And God says, I love you, I love you, I love you. Christ died for you. I want to save you, but you must trust Christ. You must run into the shelter. The shelter is there. Christ has made the provision. Have you run into the shelter? Is he your personal shelter? Have you trusted your eternal destiny to him and him alone? He loves you so much. He's made the shelter through his son dying on the cross to pay for your sin. May none of us stay outside the shelter of Christ. Let's pray. God, if there's anyone here, that has never put their trust in Christ, maybe they're like the little kid. They get in their bed, they cover their head with the pillow and the blanket, but they're not safe. May they run to Christ. May we all find our shelter in Christ. May we trust in him because he died for us. He rose. He can save us. May none of us miss running into him as our shelter for eternal life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me just say this. If anybody would ever like to just touch base with me or one of the other people here about salvation, you always feel free to do that. We would love to talk to you just on a personal level, okay? Thank you all. Lord bless you. Have a great day.